Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really do appreciate it. I'm glad you stopped by, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun. I'm your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is an active listener, strategist, and an entrepreneur. For the past 16 years, she's been the founder of Malik Co., a management consulting firm working with Fortune 100 and Fortune 500 companies. As you can imagine, during a 16-year tenure building a company, many things can change, including my guest's goals and herself. So this past November, my guest stepped down as the leader of Malik Co., and she started a brand new company called Chic Speak. Now, let's hack Stephanie Malik. A lot of things have changed since I began working online, but one of the most noticeable things is 8 or 9 years ago, I used to be able to go into a coffee shop with my laptop and I would be the only person in there working. Now, I don't even go to coffee shops anymore. It's been, I believe, about a year and a half since I've actually gone to a coffee shop to work because it's a nightmare. It's just full of people with laptops, from entrepreneurs to these digital nomads to people who just work from home. You can no longer be that guy who just goes there and calls a business meeting in the middle of morning rush hour at your local coffee shop because one thing you want to find a seat and other because it's just chaos with people working. This is why you need a platform like DaVinci. DaVinci offers incredibly affordable meeting rooms in well-known office locations in every city. That's why their slogan is search, book, meet. Because with the DaVinci platform, finding the perfect meeting room for your face-to-face business meeting is that easy. Just search, book, meet. And whether you need a day office or a conference room, a boardroom, or a training space, DaVinci has the right room you need when you need it. Plus, it's super, super cost effective. All you have to do is remember those three words, search, book, meet. And it all starts at only $10 an hour. $10. Now's your chance. Go to DaVinciMeet.com/hack. And for a very limited time, you'll get 50% off your first purchase. That's DaVinciMeet.com/hack. Some terms and conditions apply, but go check out DaVinciMeet.com/hack for all the details. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, very special guest. Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely my pleasure. I've been looking forward to this conversation, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun.
Great. I'm excited.
Let's jump into it, shall we?
Sure.
All right. Stephanie, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Wow. Great question. I listen. I listen a lot. I believe in the 80-20 rule. So I believe in 80% listening and 10% clarity and 10% response. I believe that if I don't fully understand, how would I be able to even begin to solution it or put myself in my client's shoes in order to be able to seek help?
Wow. 80% listening, 10% clarity, 10% response. So is that like sort of, do you mean looking for like sort of an empathetic view of your client or something else?
No. Let me give you a little bit of an example.
Okay.
Many, many years ago, kind of when I was on the sales forefront business development aspect of things, when I would go in to see a client, some of our clients are like Nike, American Express, Motorola, Toyota, et cetera. I would go in and it would be a first meeting or right after an initial call. and they would be absolutely dumbfounded that I didn't have a prepared deck. They were just blown away. They were just like, do you need a PowerPoint? What do you need? And I was like, no, I just want to have a conversation with you. And they were floored. They were miffed. They were annoyed. They almost felt like it was a waste of time. And I would just step back, John, and I would say, I am actually so shocked, and please forgive me if I had given you the wrong impression, but I'm not sure how I would even begin to prepare any type of deck for you when I have no idea if you even need my service. I could be learning from you right now, or I could be really kind of understanding, what risk are you trying to mitigate? What is your need? And they kind of stopped and they would slow down and they would go, oh. And I said, I mean, if you want a company presentation, I'm happy to do that. But I really am unsure and even unclear on how I would come with a prepared deck when I have no idea what your true need is. And from there, the conversation grew so organically that they really understood I wasn't going to just come to them with a canned solution that I had delivered to every other client.
Wow. And it's the exact opposite way that 99% of the people will do it entering the room. They'll have that deck and then the people on the other side will pretend to listen, but will kind of zone out and check their phone. But everyone's happy because that's the way it's supposed to be done.
Absolutely. Then that leads them into not having to take any intelligent action.
So is this where you started? Like in your career, did you start doing this right from the get-go just because this just felt right to you? Or did you start the way you were supposed to, quote unquote, start with the slide deck and realize that wasn't working and changed it?
Oh, no. I made so many mistakes. I made so many errors. I spent hours and hours and hours with fake scripts and role-playing and videotapes and handling objections and just kind of doing it the very, very old school way. I believe they call it the Benjamin Franklin way. And it just didn't work for me. And I left and I kind of just felt badly about myself. And I felt badly about how I handled things. I was just trying to sell them door number one, door number two, or door number three, because that was my job. It was sales. Get in, get it done, get it closed. And then kind of in maybe third into my career, I was doing a ride along with my boss and we went into a client, a very, very significant Fortune 100 client. And I walked in and I had my meeting and there was clear opportunity to ask for the sale. And I closed my book and I shook his hand and I said, gosh, thank you so much for taking the time with me. I really appreciate it. You have a lovely family, because I noticed a picture on his desk. And I said, I really appreciate the time and I'm looking forward to our next meeting. And I just got up and I walked out and I got written up in the car. So my boss was just absolutely floored. And he said, you had 14 different directions to ask for the sale and you didn't. And so we're taking performance action and you're on a PIP.
Wow. Was this sort of a theme that went through employment for you? Like, I'm looking for this sort of defining moment in your career where you kind of figured out that you didn't want to work or couldn't work for somebody else anymore and you needed to do your own thing.
That defining moment, I think I was about 16, but I didn't quite know how to do it.
Fair enough.
I got emancipated when I was 15 years old. So I left home and I worked three jobs when I was 15, finished school through independent study, went through college, got married very, very young, got divorced very young and had a child. And then it really was about not really making it work for anybody else, but making it work for my child. So I set some very, very clear boundaries. I would go in and I would tell my boss, if you hire me for this job, know that I take my daughter into school and I pick my daughter up from school. And that looks like a really short day to you, which is about 6 hours. But my daughter goes down at 7 and I start working again at 7:30 and I work until it gets done. And I will always exceed your expectations highly.
Wow. Wow. Where did this drive come from? Like being sort of pushed out of a house at a young age, that can usually end up in such a bad story rather than you just like taking control and like doing what you've done since then.
Right. You know, John, I think because my family was so, you know, I don't want to say poverty, but I mean, I would definitely say not doing well. My father drowned when I was 3. My mom worked 2 jobs to make ends meet. She made $14 an hour, which by at that time was, you know, a fairly good blue collar worker salary. I wanted from such a young age to help so many people and never have other people feel so kind of like empty. So like, or worthless or useless or loserish or all of these terms that we hear, that there was never an option to not be able to help people. And in order to help people, you have to mostly be funded well, whether it be your housing or whether it be the financial means to be able to travel into other places, or just the overall funding to be able to fund projects that you really deeply care about.
Wow. I love it. I like the idea of it. And I think I read somewhere that you even define sort of that as like those three things that most individuals need for happiness, which is freedom, financial gain, and then contribution, which is having that funding and then also wanting to help people.
Right. And to kind of elaborate on that, I've worked with so many people that have two of the three, and they are just, something is missing. Something is missing. I have this giant void. And when it all comes down to it, once they can kind of get out of their own way, we find out that yes, they're a millionaire, and yes, they have boats and yachts and dinners and everything else, but they're really not contributing to society or to anything that they feel deeply connected to or passionate about. Same thing with contributing. Hey, you know, I went to Africa, not me, but a client. I went to Africa and I helped bring water into a village, and I educated children, and I did all of these different things. And then I came home and I lived with seven people on the floor and tried to figure out my next step. So I was stressed and I had anxiety. And so I really found kind of these three things are really what needs to make kind of the holistic entire whole person.
I love it. When deciding that, I mean, you couldn't work for somebody because it wouldn't work within yours and your daughter's life and lifestyle that you were trying to create, what was the first business that you started, or what direction did you take from there?
Well, so I think the defining moment that you're looking for, because to be honest with you, John, I kind of pussyfooted around it for a long time.
All right.
It wasn't really kind of a good idea for a 25-year-old single mom to be kind of out exploring herself or finding herself. It really wasn't a great idea. I needed healthcare. I needed benefits. I needed to create in my head some sort of stability for her. The defining moment really came when I got a phone call that my oldest brother, who had kind of almost taken on the role, he was my stepbrother, almost taken on the role as my father, died suddenly at 38 years old from a pulmonary embolism. Oh, and he did everything right, John. He did everything right. He ran 8 miles a day. He was an amazing husband. He was an amazing father. He had twins that were 3 months old. He was a pediatric oncologist working in Okinawa, Japan, working on a leukemia string. And this guy was just solid. He was the one with the morning routines and the rituals and the motivation and et cetera, before that was even a thing. And I got the phone call that he was gone and he was only 38 years old. And I said, not 1 minute longer, not 1 minute longer. I packed up my daughter. I went to the office and I walked in. I had a pretty amazing boss. And I walked in and I said, hey, Rob, I quit. And he was like, ha, 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 ha. And I said, no, I really quit. And he's like, Stephanie, you're so funny. And I really just said, hey, no, I'm done. And I told him what happened. And I picked up my daughter and I walked out the door. And I picked up my check that Friday. And he walked in and he gave me a giant hug. And he looked at me and he said, Stephanie, I have one hope for you. And I thought to myself, uh-oh. And he goes, I hope you have someone that works for you that's exactly like you, because you never, ever, ever made me worry about what was coming.
Wow. Have you ever found somebody like you? You seem very unique.
You know what, John, here's the thing. I don't have any expectations of people except for being honorable and being intentional. So I don't really say, are you like me? And that's kind of, I don't believe in that whole process. I believe there's a lot of people in my company, in my different firms. I believe that there's a lot of people that have the exact same moral conviction, integrity conviction, drive, ambition as I do, but I haven't found that kind of twin, if you will.
Right. It'd probably be kind of weird if you did. Kind of creepy.
Yeah, maybe. I think so. I'm with you. That'd feel kind of funny.
Okay. So we've talked about, I mean, you've had some epic like lows throughout that, but we've talked about what you're good at, starting with listening and listening a lot. Could you tell me, Stephanie, something within your business that you are absolutely not good at?
Let's see. I could give you about 200 things. You want me to just do one?
Yeah, I would like one.
Okay. Let's start with one. Okay. I'm not exactly sure how to give this to you in a simple phrase, but let me just kind of tell you what I'm not good at. I'm not good at going against my gut. So I have been known, Chic Speak does every other month or so does a free 30 to 45 minute strategy session. And it's, there's kind of a process to this. You basically do an assessment form and application, and then we choose to see if that's going to work out and we'll have a call with you. I have been known to stop the call in about 15 minutes because of my gut feeling, and I'm not disrespectful or rude in any way. I just know if I don't have the expertise or the wherewithal or the know-how, or I haven't done it, I'm not going to be of service to you. So I will stop the call and I will kind of recap what that person is looking for and needs. I'll make sure that I have buy-in to that. And then I will let them know that I'm not the person that can kind of lead them to the next level and where they're hoping to go, but that I know person A, B, or C, and I'd be happy to provide an introduction. So I'm not really good at kind of going through the entire process if I have that giant gut feeling that we are not aligned.
I love that. And I love that you are honest enough with yourself and the potential client to also push them in, like, to the correct people who can help. That's a hard thing for a lot of people to do.
Right. And I mean, truthfully, John, I do get a little pushback. I've had some pretty hot emails from future clients. I've had some of my coaches say it's your job to transform them. And I just don't believe that. They have their own optimal goals set for them. I want to make sure I've been there, done it, done a great job, failed at it a couple times, that I really truly have the expertise to offer them to kind of get them to the next level. And if I don't, I just don't believe in faking it. There's somebody out there who has, that's way better than me, that's really going to get them to their goal and ultimately be respectful and thankful that I actually pushed them to somebody else.
Yeah, truly, truly. As a consultant, as an executive coach, as a business strategist, do you use or utilize these types of experts within your business and for yourself?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I told you I got married when I was 20 and I had my daughter when I was 22 and I was fully, completely divorced by the time I was 23. Which is hysterical now that I look at my 23-year-old daughter and I was like, wow, I was really a baby. Like, no joke there. So I think one of the things that I really thought about, John, was that when he left, I was so heavily in debt because he had taken credit card loans and mortgage loans, et cetera, et cetera. So at 23 years old, I was $80,000 in debt. And we didn't have Facebook and we didn't have, you know, we had the internet, but we didn't really have Facebook or LinkedIn or anything like that. It was truly on who you knew, your relationships. And I had $12,994 left as a credit limit on my Citibank Visa. And I called a gentleman who I had known for years and years and years. It was a huge business influence for me. He was a venture capitalist. And I said to him, please tell me who you know who's the absolute very, very, very best that can work within a $10,000 budget. And he gave me three names. I interviewed them all and I charged the absolute lot because it was $11,500. Please tell me who is the absolute best. And he did. And I paid for it with my very, very, very last ounce of income, not knowing where I was going to live the next day.
What did you learn from that coach that allowed you to just step forward from there and, I mean, kick ass as you have since then?
Really that. That's what I learned. I learned to get out of my own way.
Wow.
I learned stop with the excuses, stop with the sob stories. Every single person had it. I mean, her first conversation to me, John, she goes, let me tell you about this. My last client, her parents were shot right in front of her face and they took her brother and they never found him again. She's like, are you done? I was like, well, okay, let's get going. I have nothing to compete with. So she's like, okay, let's go through your gifts. Let's go through your tools. Oh, you don't have any tools? Here are the tools that you want. You start with the most important thing that you need to get done that day, and you do not stop, even if it's one thing that day. And she set me up. She just basically said, this is how you're going to start fixing your credit. This is how you're going to call the creditors. This is what we're going to do to figure out what type of intentional business that you want to start. We start with the demand, and we work backwards, and we kind of align with your passion. And I mean, all these words, John, all these words were like, what is align? And what does passion even mean? My passion is keeping my daughter fed. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. And she worked hard, but I worked harder. So much so that I bought a 12-week package and I completely graduated in 10 weeks. And she asked me to guest speak at one of her showcases.
That's, so this is, This is interesting. So I thought maybe, I mean, just listening to your story, that this sort of idea of getting out of your own way and not dealing with the sobs of it was something that was sort of innately within you, but it's actually something you discovered and sort of harnessing at 23 years old.
Oh yeah, it was definitely, I mean, I can't even, that would be the most dishonest thing I would ever say. It was absolutely not within me. It was absolutely, I wanted to say, why did this happen to me? How come I have all of this bad luck? I can't believe this is happening all around me. How do people perceive that I would be able to get out of this paralysis? You know, I had every type of excuse and legitimate excuse. My father drowned. My mom flipped out. I left home when I was 15. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on. And all of those things were only symptoms. They were not truly what was inside of me. I had just only learned to live in the negativity and discuss the problem and never find the solution.
I want to take a quick moment to interrupt this conversation to talk about dreams. What is a dream? A dream is simply a great idea that doesn't have a website yet. Your job is to make it a reality. You should make it a reality with Squarespace. Squarespace has beautiful templates created by world-class designers. Everything is optimized for mobile, and there's a new way to buy domains and choose from over 200 extensions. 2018, it's the year of the maker, no longer the year of the dreamer. So get started today by making your dreams a reality. Go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code HACK. You'll save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Once again, that's squarespace.com. All right, let's get back to the conversation. This seems like an abrupt change at this point. But we're going to do it. We're going to move to projects if we can.
Sure.
Because the story is fascinating up till this point. And then you went and you built a business for 15 years or 16 years. And now you've stepped out of that business and you've decided to start another one. So this is the project. Usually you choose the project, but I want to understand this project. So the new project is Chic Speak. It's 6 months old or so, and it's a completely new business venture for you. You told me that you learn to trust your gut and you get out of your own way and you need to sort of trust that gut and not go against it. So I want to know, what is it or what is that process? You have somebody probably with an amazing network, an amazing possibility of things you could do 6 months ago. I want to know why you decided and how you decided to choose to work on Chic Speak as your next business venture.
Okay. So, John, I really, really, really want to be highly impressive to you, but it's not that impressive. It's really just not. It really is just not that impressive. I've never been a technologist. My schooling, my formal education was, my major was behavioral studies. I had a minor in religion. And essentially what people say, hey, Stephanie, your number, from the time I was young, your number one strength is this. You can walk into a room. You can walk into any room and accurately assess. With little to no verbal communication, you can accurately assess the room. And I really kind of didn't pay that much attention to it. I was just like, yeah, whatever, you know, who cares? That doesn't really buy anything or fix anything or help anything. It doesn't matter. And as I got older and older, it became so much more innate. So I would go, Malico, John, for all intents and purposes, Malico is a consulting firm. We consult in technology, although we do a lot of business process. So we do a lot around technology. So SAP and Oracle, business strategy, where's your next revenue stream coming from? How do you do revenue models? Kind of what are your channels? Are those channels viable? How do you switch intention? So like, how do you go from being in the United States to maybe going to global markets? Maybe you have a new product or service. How do you get to market? What's your market strategy? So that's kind of what Malico did. But really, truly, it was all around technology. So our kind of early ideal client was the CIO or the VP of technology. And I'm not a technologist. I don't profess to be. I just built my business with having very strong technologists around me. What I spent so much of my time doing within Malico was really coaching. So I was coaching the executive team on, they really wanted to spend this $30 million, but they were unsure how to present it to the board. So we would go and have these long conversations of kind of feature benefit and what they were feeling, what was blocking them from actually being able to present this with confidence, knowing that this was going to work. Or a new executive within their own organization wasn't connecting with their team wasn't performing for them, the implementation or the integration for the technology didn't work. There was zero user adoptability. What happened was this kept happening and happening and happening and happening. And I continued to get phone calls or text messages late at night going, hey, can you just walk me through this? Hey, can you give me another perspective? And I was like, oh my God, like I need a second job. Like it was just completely out of control. And then what happened was I just started getting more and more, I mean, there's really no really nice way to say it. I just started getting more and more bored with the technology, more and more competitive, meaning that so many more technologies do, there's so many more technologies doing the things that people need, mitigating risk and eliminating actual people to be there to evaluate it. I basically just had a long conversation with my board and I sat down and I just said, hey, listen, you guys have been so good to me and you guys have been so fair, but I am really just unhappy and I want to do something that actually means something. And my lead board member looked at me and he smiled and he's about 74 years old. And he said, why don't you just formalize what you've been doing for the last 8 years, Stephanie? And I was like, what is that? And he said, you have been a human consultant. You teach people how to believe in themselves and how to have the confidence. You teach people about their own syntax. What are they about? What is their value? What is their story? You do it in so many different levels that why don't we talk about that? And it just, I mean, John, it became, I had to slow myself down. I got in the car. I started recording everything. I got home. I called like eight of my friends that were like mentors. And, you know, one used to be the president of Microsoft. One was the president of Sun Microsystems. And they, every single person, John, was like, yeah, duh, no kidding. And I was like, thanks, guys. That's awesome. They were just like, Stephanie, how can you not know this? Like, this is who you are. This is what you do. Like, you motivate people and you get them up and ready to like believe in themselves. And it's just an added awesome benefit that you actually know how to run a profitable business and that you have been through 11 startups and that you've taken IPOs and you've had acquisitions. And those are just amazing added bonuses. But you teach people how to find their passion and develop it into six-figure incomes. So then I felt like a total moron. and I gave myself exactly 1 hour to have that feeling. And then I just started writing a business plan. And a week later, we were up.
So you wrote a business plan. Because I was going to say, you spent 16 years with Malico, as you said, like doing revenue models, like checking for viable like markets and market strategies. And I'm wondering how much of this you actually needed or felt you needed to implement before launching ChicSpeak.
I implemented nothing.
Except for action to get clients.
I did. Actually, John, I did not even do that. I called, I sent a personal email to 450 people. And I said, everyone, I'm thinking about transitioning. This is what I'm thinking about doing. If you were to look for this type of service, please tell me what you would be looking for. Be as detailed as possible. Funny thing is, out of those 450 email, I got about 300 of them back going, are you kidding me? Please tell me you're not starting a new firm. You must be close to retirement. Are you serious? That's how the first 300 went. And then I responded back and I explained and everybody was very excited. Everybody jumped on and they said, hey, these are the 5 to 10 services that we would really look for. I asked those people for phone calls, spent about 1.5 to 2 hours on them. Again, called back my business coach, went through it with her, realigned on if we would make this a global market, if we would make this a United States market, states in Canada, kind of very, very low level kind of research on what people were looking for and launched with no Twitter, no nothing, had a 6-month non-compete on LinkedIn for my clients, which I think I have 3,000 of them, and just kind of started telling people I was doing it. In the first 24 hours that we launched our website, I had 126 applications, 104 of those paid the entire deposit up front. So I had to take a look at that and really, really, really reassess. I think we launched way too soon. I had to take a step back. I had to take a look at what questions were we asking? How come 100 people, 120 people plus believed that this system was for them? And what could I do differently to narrow my audience down to be able to truly help those who I aligned with? So I refunded everybody's deposit, which was horribly painful to do. And I restarted. I took 2 weeks. I talked to some other entrepreneurs that had been very successful and restarted everything and changed our application, our assessment process a little bit, and then relaunched and restarted. And we're at about 12 to 50 applications per week, which is much more doable.
That's still a lot. It's impressive.
Thank you.
What does the application process look like now?
The application process is depending on what you're really trying to do. So we have three lines of business. We have executive intensive coaching, and what that looks like is for women, it's kind of staying relevant in the workplace, making sure that you're getting the promotions that you are hoping for, maybe rebranding or reconnecting with your team. So it's called the Chic Woman. We have the Chic Executive, and that's a lot more intense. It's a 6-month program, and it's essentially redoing everything you do. So a ton of mindset work, a ton of connection work, a ton of strategy work about really it's overall connecting with your team and connecting with your clients, what's working and what's not working for you. We really do a deep dive into that. And then third, we do the intentional entrepreneur, which is kind of like my baby. So that's kind of where it's very intensive and we really find out what exactly your goals are. And hopefully they are very, very reaching goals. And we get you to that process of being able to make these decisions. And we put a whole strategy roadmap around this for you. But the biggest thing is clarity, intention, purpose, and certainty. And once we have that, you have to make intelligent action. And then the last one is we just started online courses. Our first one launches February 15th, and it's going to be an 8-week online course. And it's practical business. So you can start from absolutely zero. People go, how do I start a business with $1,000? This is how. And really kind of working back through, like we talked about, demand. Is there a demand? Are you solving a massive problem? If you're not solving a massive problem, then there's no way I can help you because the demand's just not there. And it would take you too long to educate your target audience before you went broke. So those are kind of our business models.
And so to be receiving 25 plus applications every single month, what are you doing to sort of bring the leads to your site and to apply?
So a lot of people have asked me to join their Facebook groups and to, I think it's called Facebook Live or Facebook Audio, and give instruction to their groups on how I've done certain things. A lot of people at conferences have asked me to either speak, or I've won several awards around being an entrepreneur or developing a business or going into global markets. And a lot of times during those award ceremonies, there are people that ask to feature me on their website. I'm right in the middle of, you know, writing a book. So, I mean, it's more really kind of word of mouth.
And you out there hustling. If you're doing Facebook Live sessions in groups, you're hustling to get leads. I love it.
Yeah, it is.
I love it. I mean, it could have just been like, oh, we buy paid traffic off LinkedIn. But it's like, no, you're out there hustling. And that's awesome. Speaking at conferences, speaking in Facebook, writing a book, those things take effort. And those are what work to bring in the leads.
Right. And John, I didn't even know about all this Facebook paid advertising or LinkedIn paid advertising. I didn't even know about any of that because it's just a different model. The online presence thing is such a different model than anything I've ever worked in. It's amazing and it's great, but there's definitely a learning curve. And so I'm kind of in the middle of that learning curve. So we haven't done any of that yet.
Absolutely. It's a whole nother place where you can enter for traction later.
Yes.
Stephanie, this has been absolutely a blast. I've loved every minute of this conversation. I would like to wrap up on one final question for you, if I could.
Sure.
It's this idea I'm working with calling the entrepreneurial gap. Meaning that no matter what we seem to accomplish as individuals and within our businesses, we always project our personal successes into the future. So in 3 months, when you launch that course and hit that revenue goal, or in 6 months, when you stand on that stage you've always wanted to stand on, whatever it is, you and I both know, Stephanie, that seconds before you hit that, you're going to set 5 bigger goals into the future. I agree we need to do that and need to push forward. But rather than always looking forward, I would love it right now if you could stop, turn around, and look behind you. So, I mean, you started this journey at 15 years old. You've had incredible lows and incredible highs. I'm sure you've had massive wins and massive losses. But can you tell me how you feel about this whole kind of insane career / journey up until today?
Yeah. And I'm not sure that it's even the answer that you're looking for, John. But I would say that my 4 kids, my oldest one has been in 32 countries and my youngest one has been in 17. And it's all because of my career and because of my clients and because of them affording me the opportunity and the trust to help them build their business. My kids really have such an amazing, amazing handle on other cultures, poverty, extreme wealth. And when I hear my 8-year-old talk about blessing bags and feeding homeless people, and it's such on the top of his mind, or when my daughter leaves for 6 months after she graduates college and goes and works volunteers where the need is great, I feel like my job is completely, completely given them these type of blessings.
That's awesome. That is exactly the answer I was looking for. Stephanie, we've got to talk about your new business throughout this conversation, but now could you specifically tell the listener where they can find you online and who exactly it's for?
Absolutely. So the company's name is Chique Speak. It's C-H-I-Q-U-E, Speak, S-P-E-A-K.com. And they can go there, look at any of our packages. We're also on Facebook. Our Facebook group is Chique Speak, and the name of the group is Mental Mindset Matters. The group launched last week, and we're doing a lot of really good things coming up in the new year for that. This, both the Facebook group and both and the website alone are for anybody who is wanting to start a business, a six-figure business. Sadly, John, I don't have the time to for the people that do it passively and kind of want a passive income. These are for people that want to walk away from their 9-to-5 monotonous job when they're feeling frustrated and just maybe not feeling viable or feeling the worth that they truly are. These are for people that want to make an intentional decision to get out and have the freedom, both with time and money, to be able to spend time with their loved ones, and they're intentional about it. They have a goal set for when they walk away. This is also for people that have started a business and are either just breaking even or they're struggling, or they're like, hey, in 2 months, I'm not going to have this job and I'm not going to be able to have this business. I'm going to have to return back to my job. Those really are the two type of people that we really help. And then we help the executives, like I said, in the packages, where the executives are struggling with connection, new quota timelines, new strategists, kind of younger people coming in, more technology coming in. They're worried about getting laid off, or they're worried about being repositioned or maybe riffed. And they want to make a definite actionable plan on what's next. So those are kind of the three types of people that we serve.
I love it. I love it. Chiquespeak.com is the site, as well as that Mental Mindset Matters on Facebook. I'll find links to both those. I'll link to them in the show notes for you. So whenever you're done walking, jogging, working out, those will be waiting there for you, as well as some social media such as LinkedIn and I believe Twitter I can track down for you, Stephanie.
We have Instagram as well.
There we go. Nice. So Stephanie, once again, thank you so much for joining me. Thanks for sharing so openly. I really, truly, truly do appreciate it. And please just keep doing what you're doing because it's awesome and inspiring to watch.
Thank you so much, John. I really appreciate you taking the time to hear our story.
All right. That was a lot of fun. We covered a lot of things. I mean, all the way from following your gut to the power of being a good / active listener. As the conversation wound through, I absolutely enjoyed being part of it, but I'm so excited for this part of the show. It's the part where we get to go back. We get to go back and listen to the conversation with Stephanie, and we get to pull out that one thing that Stephanie said. Are you ready? All right, let's do it. Let's find the hack.
So she's like, okay, let's go through your gifts. Let's go through your tools. Oh, you don't have any tools? Here are the tools that you want. You start with the most important thing that you need to get done that day, and you do not stop, even if it's one thing that day.
And that's the hack. Stephanie, Stephanie, Stephanie. I absolutely love this. And I love this because still, it's the beginning of the year. We all have goals. We all have things we want to accomplish. Sometimes they seem too big or too far away to maybe even get started or to keep our momentum going beyond January or February. This is crucial. This is absolutely key to anything you want to accomplish, no matter how big or how small. Break it down into individual tiny little parts and every single day do the next one. Don't worry about 2 days from now or a week from now or 6 months from now. You find that one most important thing, the next thing that you have to do, and you get it done today. In fact, you do not stop until it's done. I don't care if you have to do it at 6 in the morning, 6 at night, or midnight. You do that step. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it takes work. But this is how you get to where you want to be in 1 month, in 3 months, in 6 months, in a year, wherever it is. Find that one thing that you want to accomplish. Work backwards, break it into individual steps, and do that one thing every day. There's no more room for excuses. In that, actually, in when Stephanie was talking, you actually heard her hit her fist with her hand. I love that. She was just so adamant. You have to do that one thing no matter what. That's the attitude it takes to accomplish what Stephanie has accomplished. There's no more excuses. Do that one thing. Stephanie, thank you so very, very much. All right, so that was a lot of fun. Hacktheentrepreneur.com is the site. Head on over there because there's something interesting. You get onto the email list and there's some cool stuff coming. Also, there's the Define Your 20 course that I created last year, at near the end of last year, which will help you to take that end goal and break it down into individual parts. It's going to help you decide on what that goal is, break it into parts, and make sure that it gets done every single day. This is how things work. You can get onto the email list and find the Define Your 20 there, or you can go to hacktheentrepreneur.com/DYT, Define Your 20. Either way, it's what we need to accomplish what we want to accomplish this year. I've made it for you. Please use it. All right. It's been fun. I appreciate you stopping by so much. I appreciate you taking the time. It is really cool to get to hang out with you. My email is always open, john@hacktheentrepreneur.com. Any questions, concerns, I would absolutely love to hear from you. And yeah, let's keep going. And until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.